Love Christian Record. As you know, some of you, most of you know that I was representative in South Carolina for Christian Record for 6 years. And it's a lovely, lovely ministry. And I, you know, if the economy hadn't gone south like it did a few years ago, I'd still be with them. But because donations went way down, they had to cut back on staff, and I was one of the cuts. But I'd be still doing it today if the donations had come in. But this is a really lovely cause, you know. Those camps are just special. Those people are just special. And they always inspired me, and lots of times they brought me to tears. They were so special. And they, I have chosen, well, it was chosen for me, but the title, The Chosen. And we read the scripture today at 1 Peter 1 and 1 and 2. Before I go into this, I want to pray again. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we are able to be here in church this morning, celebrating the Sabbath together with all kinds of your people. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to have the health, the strength, the mental vitality to be able to do this. And I know some people would like to be here and are not here. Some are just visiting us today and just felt inspired to come and be here. And we pray that your word would come now and inspire us all and help us to be better than we ever been before. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As a matter of introduction, this letter of Peter was written because there was trouble in Rome. And Peter could not have come to Rome at a worse time. Nero was the emperor. And he was a bad guy. Paul was imprisoned in the dungeon, and a delegation of Jewish leaders from Jerusalem was stirring up trouble in Nero's imperial court. They were demanding for Peter's incarceration too. So let's get rid of these Christians. Now the Holy Spirit had warned Peter that Christians were about to face terrible persecution, and they did. Therefore, Peter determined to do his best to fortify God's people against the impending conflict. Now that sounds like today, doesn't it? The conflict is coming. Things are going to start happening, and they're happening now, that are going to make life kind of miserable for you if you're a Christian. Now, I mean a real Christian. So Peter was kneeling beside his mat, wherever he was staying, and the glow from the crude oil lamp provides enough light so that we can watch his lips. And let's just think about Peter here. We're watching him as he prays. And quietly, let's move closer so we can hear what he's saying. Listen, listen. Can you hear, can you feel his earnestness as Peter pleads for God to show him what to do? Are you pleading for God to show you what to do? I sure am. Because we just don't know what's coming on. He knows how weak he once was in the face of trouble. And Peter was. He knuckled under pressure when Jesus was being crucified and all that. And all the just before then, you know how Peter folded up. And so when Peter learned that because we are frail creatures, we need to pray. We need to ask God for help. Because how can any of us face what's coming on this earth if we don't get fortified with prayer? So he wants to connect with the power of God that will prevent him from denying his Lord Jesus again, as he had done. And this was 35 years later. Oh yeah. And for what seems like a long time, Peter prays not now for himself only, but for all the Christians in Rome. He knows how much the devil hates Jesus. And he hates his friends. And that means us. The devil doesn't like you. He hates you. He hates Jesus. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. So Peter had seen Satan's hatred at work many, many times before. He had been persecuted, he had been beaten, starved, rejected, imprisoned, all because he loved and served Jesus. Who do we think we are? We think we're going to escape. Oh, haven't you felt the pressure lately? Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong and will go wrong, but we still have Jesus to help us out, don't we? The persecutions against Christians by Nero were inhuman. Nero entertained his friends by dipping Christians in tar and burning them as torches. Are people nicer today? No, they're not. Look at North Korea. That's crazy. Somebody that just wants to play with big toys and blow people up and destroy things. What kind of nonsense is that? Many were fed to the lions or drowned in leather bags or beaten to death. Peter does not stop praying because his communion with God affords him his only hope and his security. There's no security in this world. And your security is between your ears. Did you know that? It's your positive or negative mental attitude that's going to get you through, and only by faith can we be saved. Or we'd knuckle under too. So here's what Peter says to Semenius. At the first glow of dawn begins to brighten his chamber, Peter stops. He stands up and moves slowly and deliberately across the apartment. His old bones ache now. He's not as strong and nimble as in the days when he was leading his fishing crew. He lays his hands on the shoulder asleep on the other blanket. Says, Sylvanus, he calls, Sylvanus, it's time to get up. We have much work to do. Soon Sylvanus is up, washed and finished, eating his fat bread and water. And after seating himself on his three-legged stool, Sylvanus tucks his tunic tightly under his thighs and forming a semi-circular surface on which to write, he places the papyrus on his knees and he dips the pen, the reed, you know, and stirs the black ink and he gently taps the pen on the ink vessel. And that is Peter's signal to begin. And as Peter speaks, Sylvanus writes, in a clear, bold hand, the words of the aged apostle. Here it goes. Now you open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and follow as I read. Here's the words of encouragement the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write long, long ago. Are you there? Well, you'll get there. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, and verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Say that fast 5 times. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. And peace be multiplied. Wow, we sure do need that grace and peace now, don't we? And it needs to be multiplied. Oh, yes. So Peter packs an amazing wealth of Christian truth into his greeting, doesn't he? He includes several major elements of salvation when he speaks of the saving acts of the Father, the Spirit, and of Jesus. Peter writes of the result God's grace and peace brings to our lives. God is into results. When he does something, he does it right. And so Peter writes of the result of God's grace and peace that comes to our lives. He has a simple purpose. Peter wants God's people to know that God has chosen them. God has chosen you. And what it means to be chosen of God. God wants us to understand that he chose us to be on his team. We're not spectators. We're on the team. Oh, yes. We're in the arena. We're not sitting in the seats. We're down there fighting the lions. Yes, we are. And today, God's people are sensing that the historic events that we see on nightly news are signaling us to prepare for the final conflict between Christ and Satan. It's happening. Every day we learn of another despicable act. Children murdered at school, boys and girls, forced into sexual slavery. Political murders and wars almost on every continent. Happening. We too may soon face the same kind of fiery trial that the church faced when Nero's persecution burst upon it. These are indeed the last of the last days. We must know what it means to be God's chosen. And when we know that, then we will feel the abundance of God's grace and peace, even in the midst of severe, terrible trial. We have been chosen to be God's elect. Now here's what the word means. Chosen to be a pilgrim. Strangers, sojourners, pilgrims. Let's just keep reading this again here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims. What are pilgrims? What are they, Marcus? They spiritual, yes, and physical travel. People that travel around. They're pilgrims. They're looking for something. They're in search of something, aren't they? And so when the pilgrims came to America, they were looking for peace and safety. They wanted to get away from whatever was chasing them out of their countries back over in Europe or Asia or wherever they came from. They came here for refuge. Now people are trying to escape. But they still come to America. It's still the best place to come to. You know, it's not what it used to be, but it's still pretty good. And to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Now, the temporary residents dispersed in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, these are the pilgrims. And this also refers to them as aliens. This world is not our home. We are aliens, believe it or not. We're from another country. We're from up there, not down here. Our citizenship is in heaven. When we became part of Christ, where is He? He's in heaven. Our hearts are in heaven, aren't they? And if they're not, they should be. Because we're walking here, down here, as strangers, aliens, pilgrims. We are the elect. We are the chosen. We are the faithful. Oh, yes. Now, there was a blind man. His name was Pastor Dexter Thomas. He was working as the Adventist Disabilities Coordinator in Florida. Knows what it's like to live as a pilgrim in several ways. He was born in the Twin Island Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. Now listen, this was the man that was in that up there that you've seen. He said he was born blind. They, in his country, they consider them brain dead because they're blind. You know, if there's no hope for you, you're brain dead. They treat them like trash. He said he is the seventh in a family of eight. Just because he was blind, Dexter was often treated in school as though he were a brain dead alien. About his early school years, Dexter said, "Blindness was a real evil thing to me. It was evil because I grew up in a culture where to be blind meant you were brain dead. And to be blind meant that you were belittled. I hated the weakness and the feebleness that came with the feeling and being identified as blind." Time has proven that Dexter is intelligent, creative, and successful. Yet, because of his blindness, Dexter at times has had to live like a pilgrim in the sighted world. Because God selected him to be one of His chosen ones, Dexter lives as Jesus' ambassador. Sometimes, don't you feel all alone? Surrounded by all kinds of people, but just absolutely isolated. Nobody thinks like you do. Nobody acts like you do. They're all acting strange and weird. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, that's true. You know, and there is a saying, is that everybody in this world is crazy but me and you, and I'm starting to wonder about you. You know? And maybe some people are trying to wonder about me, because look at what has happened in my life in just the last little while. This to this to this to this to this. And does it ever end? No. But we are looking above this. We have got our eyes fixed on the prize of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. We're looking forward to the day when all this is gone. Because it's got to go. It's going down. This is a sinking ship, folks. We are the chosen. We are the ones that He has chosen to rescue. He wants to rescue the rest of them, but they don't want Him. It's like you're talking to a brick wall sometimes. At least the brick wall has the capacity of echoing you back to yourself. But a lot of this just rolls off people like, oh. Well, listen, not only are we chosen to be Christ's pilgrims living as aliens in this world, we are special in another way. Please notice in verse 2 the word elect as found in the New King James Translation. This word eklektos means select, chosen, elect, favorite, or chosen one. Now that's good stuff. I like that. I like to think that I was chosen. Ever play games where you're going to play baseball and they line them all up and one says the captain, the other one's the captain, and you're the last one chosen and they don't even want you then? Me. I'll tell you. But it's nice when you are chosen. And when Peter selected this word, he was saying that God's people, all Christians, are Christ's elect. His favorites and His special people, chosen by God. Peter is saying that what these Christians living in Asia, modern Turkey, already knew. These men and women had abandoned the secular society. You need to abandon the secular society. As Christians, they knew their citizenship was in God's eternal kingdom. I'm an American citizen. I'm also a citizen of heaven. And there's good countries down here. There's some good ones left. But that's the one I'm striving to go to. I want to get out of here. I'm getting tired of this, aren't you? But in the meantime, let's make the best of it. Let's develop a positive mental attitude about these things. We got a mission to do. We got something to do. Jesus is coming and He's going to hold us accountable for what we have done with what we have. I don't have too much, but I got something. And what I got, I give to Him, don't you? You know, it's His. He bought us, He paid for us, He redeemed us. He has done so much for you, and what are we doing for Him? We need to yoke ourselves together with Him and go to work, don't we? All right, we will. Here's the story about being chosen. There's nothing quite like the feeling that comes when we are special. Now here's Danny. He remembers how it was like growing up in Chicago's southwest side. He lived just two blocks from Chicago's Midway Airport. Houses were packed tightly in his neighborhood, so the kids on his block only had one open place to play, in the street. Did they play in the street? Yes, they did. You remember playing in the street? Yeah, because that's where you could play. It was so crowded over there in China, you'd play in the streets, right? Okay, well, you listen now. I got some more stuff to say, and we'll talk about that later. But some people play in the streets. See, Marcus remembers a little bit of China, yeah. In the summer, Danny played street softball on the corner of whatever street and the other street. And one of the rules was that if a car came down the street when the ball was in the air, you got another turn it back. Another rule was that Bobby and Mike were always the captains because they were the best and no one wanted them to be on the same team. You put two big, strong guys on the same team, you're going to lose. So you take the two best guys, make them captains, and then there's two even teams. And when everybody was ready, they played thumbs. That's it, you throw the bat, you catch it, and you go. And if the thumb covered the top, he got first pick. Okay, there was great honor in being chosen first because that meant the captain thought you were the most important player on the team. Okay, now Danny was never chosen first. He was shorter, slower, and clumsy at baseball, and sometimes he was not chosen at all. Sounds like me. But usually Danny was needed to play right field. He beamed with pride when the captain called Danny for his team. But Danny could see the tears glistening in the eyes of some of the little boys when they were told to sit down on the bench and watch the game. He knew how it felt not to be chosen. But you and I were not chosen just by any captain to play a pickup game of softball in the street. We were chosen by the Lord of the universe through the grace of His Son, Jesus Christ. What an honor! We're on that team, folks. And not only that, He died to get us on it. And he's not just flipping a coin, okay, you. He really meant what He was. He went about this seriously. He didn't pick you randomly. He picked you by choice. He wants you. What an honor. What a privilege. Because God has chosen you and me, and we are members of the winning team. We know we're going to win. We read the back of the book. We know we're going to win. We're winning. And Peter says these things about the elect that God has chosen. First of all, it is God who selects them. Oh, yes. Secondly, it is the Holy Spirit that sanctifies them. And third, it is Jesus who by His grace sprinkles them with His blood for obedience. That's why you've been chosen, because He wants you to want Him so that you will obey Him and do what He wants you to do. Pretty simple. Marcus understands that. Do you? Do I? Okay, now when the day that God chose Peter, he was fishing for a living. That's what Peter did. And Peter says that God chose or selected us by His foreknowledge. He knew all about you, and He still chose you. He knew what a dweeb I was, but He still liked me and loved me enough to pick me for whatever His purpose is. Do you know what His purpose is for you? Do you? Then do it. Okay, Peter remembered that he had fished all night with his brother Andrew and his partners and James and John, and it was a disappointing night, but what did Jesus do? He says, okay, after he was done talking to them, he says, now throw your net down. And Peter had seen Jesus before. He was the man he had seen John baptize in the Jordan. He had listened for a few hours as Jesus taught, and Peter knew Jesus, so he complied. He said, okay, well, whatever you say, Lord. And for the next several hours, he listened to Jesus and share His words. And then when finished teaching, Jesus said, throw out your net. Go ahead. And every fisherman in Galilee knew you didn't fish in the daytime. You fished at night. Because the fish could see you coming. They threw the net on the water, the fish would scatter. But at night, they couldn't see, so the net would go down and cover them up, and they could drop. So we fished all night, we didn't catch any. How would you think I'm going to catch some in the daytime when the fish can see the net coming down at them? That's basically what he was saying. Oh, we fished all night. But, well, whatever, Lord. At your word. Threw it in. And soon they were filled with His largest catch of fish ever. Now, Peter felt ashamed of himself for doubting Jesus. He was afraid to be in the presence of this guy. He just said, listen to Jesus say, come on. I'll make you fishermen. And so Simon was overwhelmed. He fell to his knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people. So they pulled in their boats to the shore and left everything and followed Him. Are we fishing for people? I am. Fishing for men. And so from that day on, Jesus chose Peter. Oh, there's a lot here. We don't have to be traveling to some distant city to be a missionary chosen by God. We don't have to... We still got to be pilgrims. This world is not our home. Peter is telling us that we are Jesus' missionaries chosen for His special service. Jesus declares that we live in an alien country. This is not our permanent home. Its values and goals are opposed to God's. Peter wants us to raise our eyes in faith and see that God's eternal kingdom is our home. He says, Peter says here, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. We are going to have an impact on the world that we've never had before. Isn't that right? Aren't we? Well, I might not have done as good as I could have done, but I shall do better. Every day, in every way, I am getting better and better. Say that to yourself a few times every day. And believe it. Peter told us that we should know that we are God's elect because God Himself has chosen us by His foreknowledge. Now he adds even more. We have been chosen by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. This means that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to set us apart for God's service. It also means that only the Holy Spirit can make us ready for this service. Do you have the Holy Spirit today? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? If you're not, we need to pray. Each of us needs to have that refreshing presence of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. And when we all get it, there you have your Holy Spirit revival. Bang! It starts with us. So, after Jesus returned to his Father in heaven, Peter and the disciples waited in the same upper room, which they had argued that when they were arguing at the Passover, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom and all that. But now there was a difference. Instead of seeking the most privilege and power, they sought forgiveness and unity. Do we not need to pray for forgiveness and unity? We need to get together, folks. We need to unite our hearts in prayer and ask God to help us unify. Help us to get in harmony with one another. Forgive one another. And this is what this communion service is all about today. Getting in harmony with one another. Getting in harmony with God. If something is wrong, you have something against one of your brothers or sisters, this is a day when you can do something about it. Get right with God, get right with one another, and come and join us for our communion today. For you have been chosen just for that. So, let's do it. Let's pray. Let me thank you, Father, that you have chosen us for a divine purpose, and whom you choose, you enable. Thank you for enabling us by giving us your Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, let your Spirit move among us. Help us to examine our hearts. Help us to see that, as David says, see if there be any wicked way in me, so that I might be cleansed from my sin, that I might be reconciled to my brother and my sister, and that your Holy Spirit might move through us to change the world, to change the environment, to change the community that we are in, so that folks will see Christ in us and come to us and see the good fruit of the Spirit, that they all might be saved. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.